Good morning. Today is the first day of Lent, first Sunday of Lent. The epistle for the first Sunday of Lent is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed. But in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. Thus far the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, All these will I give thee, if falling down, thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. This far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful there. Today's gospel reminds us that even Jesus was tried by the devil. And we have to remember that he's not only after Jesus, he was after every one of us. And that he tempts every one of us. And to see how Jesus, we can see today in this gospel, how Jesus resisted the temptations of the devil. He refused to give in. When Jesus was being tempted, it was clear to him that the devil was tempting him. There is nothing he does not know, or there is no thing which he does not realize that is happening. It's a little different with us. We tend to be ignorant. We tend to not know everything. And when the devil tempts us, He wants to see as much as possible that we do not realize that He is doing something to us. He knows that He has much more success if He remains hidden. But we have to discover Him, uncover Him. The devil cannot completely hide himself. Whenever he's tempting us, there's always at least a hint that he's doing something. And if we have two or more gray cells in our brain to rub together, we can figure it out very easily. We must do it. And this requires paying attention to what's happening in our soul. We have to look within ourselves and see what's happening to us. And that is something which requires a little time. We cannot reflect on what's happening in our souls without taking a little time to do it. And so we need to pause our other activity and reflect on what's going on within us. That's a practical detail, but it's of utmost importance. It is very certain that the devil is an opportunist. When he sees something happening in our souls, or he sees that we're in a certain kind of surrounding, and he sees that a temptation might be quite effective at this moment and in these circumstances, he waits and does it then, because he sees you'll have more chance of success. And he classically just puts an idea in our head. And sometimes we don't even realize that he's doing it, because that idea is supported by what is around us right now. For example, if a person has been hankering after a new diamond bracelet, right? It's just covered with diamonds, a big old bracelet, you know. And then the devil sees them looking at one in the department store. When do you think you will tempt the person to take one, to steal it? Well, it will be then, when there is one right before the person. I will not say of which gender this is more effective on. But they will be tempted to take it, or, you know, to pay much less than what it's really worth. So this devil is an opportunist. When a man sees an immodestly dressed woman who is attractive, when do you think he tempts the man to commit a sin of impurity? At another time? Not usually. He tempts him then. He waits until that man is in a condition, in a place, in a position where there is something there to support the devil's work. But the devil is there, and he is putting suggestions into our heads. And most of the time, not only Catholics, but all humans don't even know. They do not even know that the devil is working on them. The devil wants to remain hidden. He typically only shows himself to those who have dedicated themselves to him deliberately. Take, for example, those that call him up in a seance or something. They are asking him to come. And then they see manifestations of the devil. Or someone who invites them, you know, the devil to take possession of them. He doesn't do that without, usually does not do that, unless someone invites him to do it. The devil wants to remain hidden in general, unless someone is clearly already his and sold in sin. But he remains hidden because he does not want people who at least believe they want to be good, does not want them to know that he's around, because they would have a reaction against his temptations when they recognize that it was associated with Satan. And it is up to us who are supposedly trying to be good to recognize his action in our daily life, in order that we flee from the occasion of sin and that we resist the temptations, which we don't even consider as temptations. We don't even say, yeah, this is a temptation, right? We just go on like a dupe, being led around by the nose like an idiot. When we grew up on the farm, we had cattle and horses, and we had even a donkey. Not a donkey, but a pony. Shetland pony, which is not much different from a donkey. Right? And it would not move. You get on it and you spur it and everything, and it doesn't want to go anywhere. But if you put a bucket of grain on a long pole and dangle it in front of the pony, it will go. Where is it going for? Because all it wants is something which appeases its appetites. The devil treats us like a bunch of donkeys. He puts that which appeases our sensitive appetites in front of us and says, go for it. And if we don't sense any kind of a pleasant reward for doing what we ought to be doing, we sit and we refuse to budge like a stinking pony. And the devil knows this. Whether it's a good thing or an evil thing, we are too much motivated by our sensitive appetites. And not enough motivated by love for our Creator. And that, my dear friends, is why we commit sins. And the remedy is obvious. Recognize what the devil is doing and be motivated by our love towards God. And say, I will do this thing or not do that thing because I love God. And I want God to be pleased by the things I do in my life. All of them, not just some of them. I want him to be happy with everything I do, and so I'm going to be careful to do those things which he wants and to avoid all those things which he does not want. And we have to be habitual about it. It's something that we cannot just pretend it's going to happen just because I heard a good sermon and I guess it's going to be all right now because I know what to do. No, we have to put it into practice every day or nothing will change. We wake up in the morning. The first temptation we have is to put our morning prayers off until later. Or maybe even before that to swat that snooze button a few more times. Another temptation. Don't give in. Make it mind over matter. The old joke going around in the working world was, you know, in modern times, it's the age of the employee. I don't mind because the boss doesn't matter. So it's called mind over matter. Right? That's backwards. But what we mean by mind over matter really is that we use our mind and we don't follow what our senses tell us when we realize it's not smart. We have to have our souls in order so that what we know is right and wrong, we make ourselves follow it. No matter how we feel, no matter what excuses come up in our head, those are from the devil. He says, oh, put it off a little bit. First thing we try to start doing in the morning is figure out, okay, how many snoozes can I snooze until it's just the absolute last minute and I can only barely make it to work? And then what happens? You do that way, what's the next problem that results? You have to rush. And then when you get behind somebody who's poking along at the speed limit, some stinking law-abiding citizen in front of you, right? You get mad at him because now you're going to be late. And you blame it on someone else. Whose fault is it? It's your fault, idiot. Get up when you should. The devil has you dancing to his music when you just do what you feel like doing. If we go along like slugs, we're going to hell. We have to get our act together and say, I know what my duties are, and therefore I'm going to fulfill them no matter what. I'm not going to listen to any stupid suggestions. Sleep in a little more. Oh, you can do it. Oh, it's not too bad. Oh, everybody else is doing this. That's Satan. Recognize the fact. The devil has been playing games with you all this time. And he does it with all of us. There's only one way to beat him, and that is just to do what you know is right and refuse to take excuses, exceptions, and exemptions. Refuse it. Jesus gave us the example of how to do it. The first thing, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. Well, no wonder. The devil took opportunity. He's hungry. I'm going to tempt him with bread. You're hungry on a day of fast? The devil is going to tempt you with breaking your fast. Jesus quoted scripture, said, not in bread alone does man live, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so the words of God, the Holy Scriptures. Then the devil said, okay, Jesus can quote scripture, so can I. And the devil quotes scripture for his own purpose. It's what the Protestants do as well. They follow the devil's example. Anything they can use, whether it's scripture or whatever, to try to fight against Jesus and his church. And believe me, the Protestants do fight against Jesus by fighting against his church. Because the church is the mystical body of Christ, the Catholic Church. So they're fighting against Christ by fighting against his mystical body. And then Jesus showed him that even though the devil quoted a scripture and sounded like a very strong argument, you know, it is written, throw yourself down from the pinnacle. It is written in the scriptures, in the word of God that comes from the mouth of God, you know, that the angels will bear you up and you won't even stub your toe. The Lord said, that's all. He did not deny that. That was from scripture. Jesus didn't deny what the devil quoted. But he quoted him another part of scripture which said, that doesn't apply when you tempt God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil will try to quote scripture to convince you to sin. If we don't know the whole Bible, then we don't know the scriptures. It's all completely congruent with the Catholic religion. And the devil tried one more thing, to give honors. First tempted him to pride. These three things. The devil starts off with riches, then he tempts to honors, then he wants you to come to unbounded pride. So his third temptation was to tempt Jesus to be proud by being the owner of all the kingdoms of the world. I will give them all to you, says the devil. And they were in his control. I'll give them all to you if you bow down and adore me. Now, Jesus did not say anything except another quote from Scripture. He said, the Lord thy God alone shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. We do not give adoration, which is the form of worship due to God alone. We do not give it to anything but God. The devil was asking for it to himself. Well, his temptation was to receive all the kingdoms of the world. Even if we were to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of our souls, there is no profit. It is not a bargain. Our souls are more precious than all the world. All of it. There's a famous quote from St. Thomas More. He said to one of his fellow bishops who betrayed and became Church of England. He followed the king, or someone who was given, it was somebody who was given a city in England to rule over. And he said to him in rebuke for having been a traitor, for becoming an Anglican, he was gained control of a city. And so he said to him, Thomas said to him, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Then you've done it for Wales. You didn't even get the whole world. It's a losing proposition to gain the whole world and lose your soul. And he's losing his soul for Wales. Thomas was calling him a stinking idiot. And there are people who do it for far less things, far less than the control of a city. Because the devil convinces them that it's a smart move, or that they will not lose their souls. My dear friends, we must not sin. We must not sin. It is the commandment of the Creator of the universe, our Lord and God. We just must not sin. And there is only one person who has control over whether you sin or not, and that person is you. And so see to it that you don't. And when you're tempted, often you don't realize you're being tempted, but you do realize something's wrong. And as soon as you realize something's wrong, there should be an immediate reaction to pray and to think. There is altogether too much unthinking going on. Non-thinking. Actions, decisions, and so on that have nothing to do with thought. At least not any serious thought. The devil likes this unserious thought where we just say,
gee, sounds like a good idea.
Reminds me of a cartoon, you know, where this cartoon character just says,
gee, that sounds logical. You know.
Think, you idiot. If you think, you're going to save your soul. If you don't think, you're going to be dancing to the devil's music. And you'll find yourself a captive of Satan by sins. So be careful and think. The scriptures tell us that the devil left Jesus. Today's gospel. After Jesus refused him three times, the devil left him. And angels came and ministered. When a bout of temptation is done and we've defeated Satan because we refused, all of his presentations, which is what we call the display, when we make our baptismal vows, we say to the person, do you renounce Satan? I do renounce him. And all his pomps, I do renounce them. And all his display, I do renounce them. His display is his temptations. When we renounce his temptations, we're keeping our baptismal vows. And we'll keep our baptismal grace. And we keep the right to go to heaven. And that's what the armies and soldiers of Christ are to do. Resist temptation, and that's the battle. And then when the bout is over, temptation doesn't last forever. The Lord permits the devil to tempt us, but not too much and not too long. And when we've conquered, the angels come and minister to us. They come and console us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. The good Lord is depending on us. And his armies of the church will defeat the armies of Satan. And if we lay down and die, then Satan walks over us. But if we stand up and fight, and resist our temptations, then because we have done so, the armies of Christ and the soldiers of Christ as one big unit advance against the kingdom of the devil. That is how Satan's kingdom is beaten, by people like you who find yourself tempted and refuse to do what the devil suggested, and instead you do the opposite. You do what the good Lord has told us we have to do. In doing so, Jesus conquers. The church triumphs. And it is up to you, each one of you, to see that it happens in your soul. So don't be slack. Don't be a slacker, right? Somebody on the team is just loafing, not really working hard to win. We call him a slacker. Don't be a slacker in the church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.